Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone out this evening. The last Sunday evening lesson that I preached concluded the series on the church, and we had looked at the authority of the church. And as I had mentioned several weeks ago, I wanted to start a series on money. This is something that the Bible has a lot to say about. So this is going to be a lot different than the series we just went through, but I think it'll be very helpful and practical and maybe help us to consider some things we hadn't thought of before. With the other series, I used the verse from Acts chapter 8 showing what we are to preach in our preaching. I want this series to revolve around Luke 16:11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And we're going to develop this verse as we go through, but we're going to see that if we are not faithful with the material things of this world, how is God going to entrust us with the greater riches? How is God going to entrust us with souls? How is God going to entrust us with the treasures in heaven? This first lesson, we're going to look at God owns it all. And as I said in the class that we had discussion about this, that money is something that is used as a tool and it's used as a test. It's used as a tool to carry out the Lord's work. It's used as a tool to provide for ourselves and others. It's used as a test to see where we place our love and how we are going to spend it. So we've got to understand, first of all, that God owns it all. You go back to the day of Jesus, and the religious leaders had a problem. They were totally consumed with things. The Pharisees wanted more and more from the people. They were all about money. They had a lot of other problems, but they were in large part about money and things. They were thing-oriented. They were greedy. They were covetous. They were manipulative. They would add burdens to the people that were not in the law. They moved toward acquiring more things. And when we get to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, 19 through 24, Jesus directs some statements to the Pharisees who were abusing the whole matter of possessions. We'll look at that a little bit later in the lesson. But friend, you ask people in the world, what is life all about? And a lot of them will tell you it's about what you own. It's about the stuff that you have. But life is not about the stuff that you have, but the stuff that you are made of. It's about the stuff that we put into our heart and we fill our mind with. Life is about the things God wants us to fill our heart and mind with. And what does God want us to fill our heart and mind with? He wants us to fill our heart and mind with Jesus Christ. So we need to have a stewardship mentality, not an ownership mentality. We need to handle faithfully the things that God has given us, since they aren't really our things. We need to handle those faithfully so God will entrust us the greater ones. But God owns everything. Some passages that point that out. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter how much we make, how were we able to make it? It is He who gives you power to get wealth. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have anything. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So look at that second sentence there. What do you have that you did not receive? We came into this world with nothing. We have all this stuff. Where did all this stuff come from? We received it. It was from the hand of God. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So who gives us everything? God does, because God owns everything. Psalm 50:10, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills is mine. And I heard somebody say, and the hills belong to him also. God owns it all. And we get caught up in this earthly mindset. Well, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. You can't have this. This is mine. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. He's not withholding from us. God is a God of great generosity. Now, the Bible, when we think about, you have a lot of views of how much should you have, we need to understand that the Bible gives us some examples of rich men faithful to God. Abraham, he was a very rich man. And how is Abraham referred to? He's referred to, he was called a friend of God. You think about another one during the patriarchal period, the same time as Abraham, Job. Job had great wealth. And when he lost everything, God blessed him, and he was richer, he was wealthier after he lost everything than before. He had so much it couldn't all be counted. Zacchaeus was rich, and yet he was counted as a son of Abraham. Luke 19:2 and 9. The New Testament mentions a disciple of Christ, Joseph of Arimathea. And what does it say about him? He was a rich man. Matthew 27:57. Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. So we see examples of righteous men in the Bible. Abraham, Job, Zacchaeus, Joseph of Arimathea. But Jesus teaches us not to be consumed with things. Jesus teaches us to focus on the spiritual, not the physical. And these examples of these rich men, that's what they did. They focused on the spiritual, not the physical. Now let's turn to Matthew 6 and look beginning at verse 19, where Jesus is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And again, he is directing so much of this to the Pharisees. But in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So in Matthew 6, 19 and 20, we see two treasuries. We see this treasury here on earth. We see a treasury in heaven. And we see two principles. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I think we all understand why. What's going to happen to everything that we accumulate here? It's going to be gone. It's only temporary. And again, back to money being a tool and a test, those things that we try to accumulate, they may take us away from God. So we should not be consumed with getting more and more. And again, a lot of these things we'll get into greater detail in some of the other lessons. But the question that arises out of this text is, where is our heart? According to verse 21, your heart is wherever your treasure is. Your heart is where your treasure is. Again, you can look, and with some people it's easier to tell than others what they have accumulated, their hobbies, their possessions. They may try to get every one of this one certain thing. You can tell that's where their heart is. That's what they're focused on. Now, where is your heart? Are we talking about the physical location? Are we talking about the person that you're in love with and you've given your heart to? We're talking about where is our heart in terms of the investment of our life, our motives, our attitudes, our thoughts. Where is our heart? With a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of young people, because you see it at all ages. A lot of people, their heart may be in their business, in success in a business. Oh, I gotta go to a good school. I gotta get a good degree. I gotta get a good job. I gotta get a better job. I gotta go up the ladder. And there's nothing wrong with doing that, but that shouldn't be our focus. Our focus should be more on the spiritual things. Our heart should be more on the spiritual things than the physical things. And again, God owns it all. God is going to give to us what we need. And sometimes, if we don't have a lot, God may be protecting us, because if we had a lot, we may squander it and lose our soul in doing that. So where is the concentration and the preoccupation of your life? And again, we see some people just staying on that thought of a career that makes a lot of money. It's not enough just to have a job to pay your bills. Society will tell you you need to make a lot. Well, again, that's changing too. I talked about we live in an upside down world today. One group will say you don't need to work at all and we'll take care of you. And then the other group says you need to work as hard as you can and get as much stuff as you can. But then you see people, they cheat God. They don't give God his due. They do not fulfill their duty to our Heavenly Father. Why? Because their heart is in those material things. And with some of this, this is common with all of us thinking about things. We've got to accept we spend a lot of time thinking about things. I do. Everybody does. I think about our house. Think about our cars. I don't think too much about our clothes. I think about our bank account. Anything that we might have. Some people think about all of that and they think about furniture or this or that and something to spend more money on. And how can we fix this up? And it would be really nice if we did this and got this. And this house is so nice, let's get a second house somewhere. And it's easy to never stop. We are creatures committed to things. And you think, it's interesting. So the house that we live in was built in 1938. It's got one bathroom, and the closets are real small. Back then, they didn't have the wardrobes that we have today. Everything was built for less. Today, it's not uncommon to see a house. It's not uncommon at all to see walk-in closets as big as our bedroom, or a house that has four or five bathrooms in it. And all of that is just more stuff and things, and people think about that. And they don't think about less, they think about more. Then on the other hand, you have some societies that are too poor to have anything. You see, some of these other countries where men go to preach and they'll show slides of an open latrine, a public latrine, where they don't even have indoor plumbing. They go outside for that. They don't have a good roof over their head. The question, no matter if we live there or we live in a land where we are richly blessed, who do we depend on to take care of us? Do we depend on ourselves or do we depend on God? Again, most of the people in the world, they'll say, I can take care of myself. I know what to do and I can make this happen. And I can make all the money that I set my mind to make. And friends, that's the wrong mindset. We need to rely on God. God owns it all. God owns it all. We need to put our trust in Him. And when God owns it all, there's a right that goes with ownership. So what is Jesus forbidding? Is he forbidding a bank account? He's not forbidding that. A savings account? No. A life insurance policy? No, he's not forbidding that. Investments? He's not forbidding that. Does he mean we shouldn't possess anything when he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth? Some people say you shouldn't own anything. You know, just get rid of everything you have. Just go out, live out in nature. He's not saying that. Some will say, well, what about the rich young ruler? Jesus said to him, sell all that you have and give to the poor, from Matthew 19:21. But notice with the rich young ruler that he is the only one that Jesus told to do that. Sell everything that you have and give to the poor. He never said this to Mary and Martha. He also said, everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold. So Jesus is saying if we have to give up something for him, He's going to richly bless us. If we have our heart set on God, on Christ, if we lose something because we're doing right, we shouldn't worry. God is going to take care of us. In Matthew 19:29, the Lord never condemns possessions. He told the rich young ruler to sell all he owned. Why? Because his possessions stood between him and God. And until he got rid of those possessions, he could not have a relationship with God. All of that stuff that rich young ruler had was a wall between him and God. And Jesus said, you sell that and get rid of it. With us, it might be something else. It might be something else we need to get rid of. So Jesus is not forbidding us owning things or having things. We just need to realize that God owns it all. We aren't owners. We get that drilled into our mind. We own a car. We own a house. We own this. We own that. Friends, God owns it all. He owns it all. We are just stewards. He has entrusted to us the things that we have. And they are either a tool or a test, or they are both. And Jesus is not talking about what we have. He's talking about the attitude toward what we have. It's right to provide for our family. It's right to plan for the future. It's right to make wise investments. It's right to help the poor. It's right to have money to carry on a business. But it's not right to put all of that before God. It's not right to let that come between us and God. It's wrong then to be greedy and covetous. Again, the motive is the issue. And we see people that have so much and they don't want to share it with others. So again, from Matthew 6, we see two treasuries and two principles. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We have an option. Which one are we going to contribute to? Are we going to contribute to the treasury on this earth, or are we going to contribute to the treasury in heaven? What do you do with your wealth? Don't invest it here, invest it there. Why? Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the investing we do, it's in our time, it's in our activities, it's in our life. So stop and think about this. How much, each of us has to ask this question, how much do we have invested in things in this life? Money. I'm talking about money. How much do we have invested where we can pull out a piece of paper and say, look, I've got this much money. And I've heard men through the years brag about how much they had in certain accounts. So think about that. And then think, each of us has to think of ourselves. If we pulled out a sheet and it had all that we had invested in heaven, what would we have on that sheet? Would we have to stop and think about it? Would we have a list of names that we have invested in and we have brought to Christ? Would we have people that we have helped? And again, this isn't for show, but this is what Christianity is about, investing in heaven. How much do we have invested in heaven? And which one of those spreadsheets is going to be more valuable? Again, it doesn't matter how much money we build up here. It's a tool. It's a test. It's not our money. God owns it. You see economies rise and fall. And I think we're going to see ours fall again soon. It's history. It goes in cycles. And if it does, if we have our trust in God, we don't have to worry. If we have our trust in the stock market, we're going to worry. But as Christians, we shouldn't go through life worrying about, you know, food, shelter, and clothing. God is going to take care of us. We need to have a stewardship mentality, not an ownership mentality. God owns it all. So you stop and think about money, investing money. What's the best way to invest money? Well, you do it regularly. You do it consistently. You do it proportionally. You might have something set up at work to invest in. You do it regularly. Usually every pay period, every week, every 2 weeks, you do it consistently. You do it proportionally. If you make this much, you can't invest that much. But if you make this much, you can invest proportionally. On the other side of that, when I worked for one of the companies that I did as a manager and the financial officer, he told me on the other end of it, when you loan money to people and they owe you money, business owners, they owe you money, you use the same criteria. When you set up a payment plan with them, you request something regularly. Somebody will say, oh, I can write you a check for this much, and they may owe this much, but they need to pay back regularly, consistently, and proportionally. It just makes sense in the finance world, and everybody can understand that. Now, you take that to the spiritual side. How do we invest in the Lord? We need to do it regularly. What's regularly? It's every day. We need to invest in the Lord every day. Not just when we come here to the assembly. We're out in the world with souls every day. We need to invest regularly, not one day out of the week or a couple days out of the month. We need to do it consistently. We need to do it proportionally. We may have different talents as individuals, and God, again, the talent God has given to us, but He expects us to build on that, to do more. God is not satisfied with the status quo. So if one person has 10 talents and another has 2, that person that has 10 talents uses his 10 talents regularly and consistently, and the person that has 2 talents uses his talents regularly and consistently. Well, you might say, I don't understand what you're saying. Be a little more specific. Be a little more blunt. Okay? How much do we invest in the Lord in our prayers? How much do we invest in our prayers? How much do we invest in reading the scriptures? How much do we invest in sharing the gospel with others? How much do we invest in serving one another, in helping one another, in giving a portion of God's money to the work collectively, as we do on the first day of the week, and giving a portion of God's money to help individually? Again, we are to do both. We are to help all men, especially those of the household of faith. That would come out of the church treasury. But those other men that are in need and need help, we have an obligation to help them. That comes out of our wallet. And do we say, oh, I don't, and this is my money. They got to go earn their own. You know, we got to understand God owns it all. And I had a hard time when I wanted to go into preaching full time to get support. And it was, I haven't had any problems lately. Sometimes I go to the mailbox, I wonder if there's going to be a check in there. Sometimes I'd get checks made out to the wrong name. Sometimes they weren't signed. A mix of things, which would delay things another month or two. And then I heard a preacher in the same situation say, he said, you know, when I understood that my support comes from God through men, I didn't have to worry about it. If I'm counting on this man to support me, I would worry about it. But God provides to me through someone else. And that's the way God provides to all of us. He provides what we need through whatever means, through a job, through someone helping us. There may be someone, a neighbor, someone that we see every day that's on hard times. God's going to provide for that person, and it may be one of us that comes in contact with him, and we can't say, well, he's not a member of our church, I can't help him. No, it's God's money, and God wants us to help people. Again, we use some common sense and discretion, but that is investing in heaven. When we talk about investing in heaven, and on that spreadsheet that we have for heaven, how much treasure do we have laid up in heaven? We need to develop that mindset. Do we worry about money? Do we trust in money more, or do we trust in God more? And this has been a challenge for me over the years, that word worry. I like to tell people I'm responsible, so I feel concerned for things. I just worry. And we need to cast all of our cares on the Lord. We need to set our heart on praying without ceasing. We need to set our heart on constant thanksgiving and constant worship. And then when we're doing that, we will worry less. So getting back to our heart, life must be defined by the heart of God and our heart becoming like His. God owns it all. He owns it all. Deuteronomy 8:18, For it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Whatever we have comes from God. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? Did you have a house when you were born? A car when you were born? All the stuff that you have? Everything that we have, we received. Who did we receive it from? It came from God. 1 Timothy 6:17. Nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God gives us all things. In Psalm 50:10, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. And I heard years ago, and I've kept this in mind because people, sometimes you'll come across people that that brag about what they have. And I've learned too, some of the really rich people or that have the most money do the less bragging. They're secure in what they have. But a lot of people, they want you to think they're important, and they brag about what they have. And two people were talking, and someone was saying, you know, doesn't that make you feel bad when they talk about how much they have? And the other person said, no, my father owns it all. And when we have the attitude, the mindset that our father owns it all those mansions out there, all those big businesses, all those buildings, all those whatever you're thinking about, our father owns it all. And we need to be sure that we are His children. God has a plan for us to experience His blessings, rich, overflowing lives. Lives not filled with things, but filled with wonder and joy and confidence and peace. But who do I rely on to get those things? Do I rely more on myself, or do I rely on God? God fills every need. He opens every door, He answers every longing, and He surrounds us with blessings every day. And when we become children of God, not only do we have everything here to enjoy, but we have an inheritance awaiting for us. And an inheritance that is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it will not fade away, thieves can't break in and steal it. And friends, a lot of people, you read obituaries and they look at someone's life and they'll list all the accomplishments, all the things they've done, all the things they've accumulated, the positions they've held. They don't say how much their net worth is, but they're basically trying to do that by saying all these things they did. But friends, what is that? That's laying up treasures on this earth. We need to lay up treasures in heaven. God owns it all. And when we think about God owning it all, we need to remember God owns us. He owns it all. He owns each one of us. And if He doesn't own us, then what does that mean? That means that Satan owns us, because God sent His Son to die, to shed His blood, to atone for our sins, to redeem us. That was the price that God paid to purchase us so that we can be His children. And when He owns us, He has the right to set our steps, to tell us what to do, to tell us how to act. God is our master and owner. We are His servant. And when we understand that, we are to obey Him. We are to obey Him. And again, God is a loving God. He wants to bless us richly. His holiness, though, demands that we turn our back on sin. As we read, we cannot love God and mammon both. We can't say, God, I love you. I want everything that you have, but I want to hang on to the stuff in this world. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you your trust, the true riches? Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient, you don't belong to God, but you want to belong to God so He can bless you. You don't have to worry about things in this life because He will take care of you. Your brothers and sisters will take care of you, and you have an inheritance waiting. If you need to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.